Welcome to They That Hope with Father Dave and Deacon Bob, seeing humor and hope in a crazy world. And I'm Deacon Bob.
Good morning, Deacon Bob. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, I was going to say good morning, Vietnam, but I didn't think that was a start.
Hey, speaking of starting things, They That Hope is a production of Franciscan University of Steubenville and is distributed in partnership starting with
today.
This episode,
giddy up,
with OSV Podcasts. So a warm and hearty welcome to those joining us that just heard about us through the OSV Podcast family.
Yeah, it's great to have this good partnership. Watch out, world. Here we come.
I know, right? Exactly. Dozens and dozens more listeners. So maybe as a brief introduction, I'm Deacon Bob Rice. I am a professor of catechetics here at Franciscan University of Steubenville. I get to teach courses. My main focus is youth ministry, but I also teach courses music ministry, scripture, church history, etc. Permanent deacon of the Diocese of Steubenville, married 26 years, father of seven, five boys and two girls, and an aspiring accordion player.
Perfect. I'm Father Dave Ivanka. I'm a Franciscan priest. I am the president of Franciscan University, been president for about 5 years now.
Just seems up, like longer.
Just coming up to 5 years.
Seems like an eternity.
Yeah, so I love the university. It's been a part of my life since I was 20 years old, so it's been a great blessing. I've done some other things, written a couple of books, and did the Wild Goose series, most recently, My Father's Father. And it's great to be doing this with OSV.
Yeah, it's
They've done so much good over many, many years, so it's a great blessing.
Yeah, I know. It's a great fit for us. And, Father Dave and I have been friends since the 90s when you were Brother Dave and I was a master student. I was just Bob, and you were Brother Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, you were just Dave.
Abiding together, we're coming after you.
And we're frenemies with the Abiding Together podcast, but we'll probably get into that in different moments. But first, what our podcast is really about is sports.
Yeah, well, maybe real quick.
So
we generally open up with a little bit, just because for those who have not listened to us before, we open up with a few minutes of sports because Sister
Mary Beth
in a convent somewhere appreciates the fact that we give her a little bit. And there are moms out there that are so appreciative that we give them something to talk about to their sons. And there are marriages that we have saved.
We have saved.
That's fair to say, isn't
it's
it?
It's so fair to
it's
say.
It's fair to say that we
I think
have
we're
saved.
Understating it.
We give couples something to talk about.
We have many married couples that come to us at conferences and say that we're the podcast that the couples can listen to.
At least the beginning.
The wife wants to fast forward the beginning and get to the spiritual part at the end. And the guy's like, I really like the beginning and I just hang in there in the end.
Yeah, so. And that's a gross exaggeration on both of our parts.
Oh my gosh,
yeah, so,
so
we talk
stereotypical.
About that. We just share a little bit about our life, life together as friends, life here at Franciscan University, which is a great blessing. And then just try to figure out what's going on in the world today, bring some light and truth to it. Obviously, the title of the podcast is They That Hope. And we believe that ultimately hope is all around us. But sometimes we get confused and shrouded in life and stress and anxieties and culture and elections and Supreme Courts and governments. And I could go on and on and
exactly.
on.
Exactly. The list is long.
But there is hope in the midst of it all. So it's really great to have you with us. We hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. They That Hope is the beginning of one of our favorite scriptures. They that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And so we hope that by listening to this podcast, your strength will be renewed. You'll leave it feeling a little better about
the world. We also hope that my bracket does the best.
Yeah, this is the part of the show where Father Dave's telling me who he's rooting for and who I get to root for.
What the official position of this podcast is.
All right, let's start with March Madness. Is March Madness happening late? It feels like we're almost through March. March Madness seems late and Easter seems early. Is that me?
Easter is early. March Madness is the same.
It's always like after St. Patrick's Day?
Okay. Yeah, the second weekend is always championship weekend for the conferences. And then Sunday night, yesterday, we heard who the seedings were going to be. And we start on Tuesday with the play-in games. But let's be honest, we really start on Thursday.
Nobody cares about those, right? Nobody cares.
We start on Thursday. And then it's March Madness is one of the funnest times of the year. If you like sports. Actually, and I don't... You follow NBA basketball. I don't follow NBA basketball at all. I kind of keep an eye on college basketball, but once March Madness starts, we're all in.
Then the fun thing about March Madness is it's a great entry point. You don't have to know anything.
Absolutely not.
You can just jump.
You usually win the bracket if you don't know anything. Yeah.
All right. So there's the bracket is divided east, west, south, and Midwest. Wait, am I reading that right? There's no north?
Is there really? Let's be honest.
I don't know. I've just asked. Look, I don't pay a lot of attention to this. So there's west and Midwest, east and south.
Okay.
Is that what's missing? There should be north, but we just don't care about that?
Not really.
So in the east, UConn, the Huskies, are the number one seed, 31-3. In the west, North Carolina, that's Father Gregory Plough's favorite team.
Right, which makes a lot of sense. North Carolina in the west. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. We're not asking questions. Nope. We're not judging. In the south, Houston with a 30-4 record. Yep. And then in the Midwest, Purdue with a 29-4, the Boilermakers. I'm going to say you're rooting for Purdue.
No, I'm not, because Purdue breaks my heart every year. Ideally, sure, but I'm fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me like 10 or 12 times. The interesting thing, of those top four teams, they're all the number one seed. Three of them all lost in their conference championship. So the only team that won their conference championship was Connecticut. So I was watching the North Carolina State-North Carolina game with Father Gregory.
Oh.
Let's just say tears were flowing.
It's okay to see a grown man cry over sports.
Yeah, but it should be fun. There was a couple of interesting things. There was a team out in California. I don't remember what the name of the team was.
California?
But they had lost the last eight games, so the coach got fired.
Sure.
But they said, you can go ahead and coach out the rest of the year. They won their conference championship, so they're going to March Madness, which was really funny.
Yeah.
The other is Duquesne won their conference, which was a real upset. And like halfway through the fourth quarter, somebody pushed the button for the confetti. So all the confetti is, the game's not even over. All of the confetti is falling down. It's like, we should probably finish this game.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Get the sweepers out really quick.
I would say the Huskies, that's a good call for the number one seed. Houston played really, really well. If Houston would have won, they probably would have been the number one seed.
Well, Houston is the number one seed in the South.
Yeah, but Connecticut is the number one seed.
Is
the number one?
Right, okay. If they fight each other, then they get the
tournament, right.
They get the preference of it. I'm going to root for Howard/Wagner because it's the weirdest looking name
that's
on
two
the
teams.
Bracket.
That's
actually, it can't be two teams.
It is.
Oh, because that's the play-in.
It's the play-in.
Oh, well. Yeah.
There you go.
You've
spent a lot of time with this, haven't you?
I printed out the bracket sheet.
Which I'm impressed.
I'm more of a professional guy. I don't really do college stuff.
I'm impressed.
Let's see. Who should I root for? Montana State /Grambling, or is that another?
That's number. Grambling.
So the slashings,
those two teams, it's a playing game.
Okay.
Yeah, Grambling is interesting because it's the first time they've ever been in the tournament.
Okay.
And that made it to the March Madness. So that's kind of fun.
Good for them.
They're not going to go anywhere, but that's fun.
Okay. Is Duke any good anymore?
Duke lost in the tournament. Yeah, I mean, talk to Father Gregory, of course.
Right.
I mean, they're always
Is Christian
good.
Leitner still playing for Duke?
He is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
He's on his 18th.
He got the COVID exemption, that's fantastic.
No, they're okay, but they're not great this year. Yeah, it'll actually be a really fun tournament because there's no overwhelmingly great team. So Connecticut will do good. Purdue has a possibility of good, but they always underperform. Arizona is a team you need to watch.
Okay.
Gonzaga is always a good team. I think they're both number two seeds. Kansas is always a strong team.
So we'll keep you updated.
Yes, we will, folks.
As March Madness continues.
Sister Mary Beth, we will keep you up. Well, spring training is going well, and regular season starts in about a week.
Oh, really?
So that's great.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yep.
Some fun.
A little over a week, actually.
Some NFL movement news.
Oh, my gosh.
Big deals.
So much news.
So we here in Steubenville. We're in Ohio. Some of you might not know where Steubenville is. If you think of Ohio, and I encourage you not to think of it too much, it might hurt your brain, but we're on the eastern border of Ohio. If you split north and south, we're actually directly west of Pittsburgh, just 25 minutes from the airport and 45 minutes from downtown. So we're very much in Pittsburgh Steeler country. My family are very devout Steeler fans. And over the weekend, Dave's team is the Denver Broncos, by the way. We got your quarterback. Thanks for paying for the Steelers quarterback,
You've got that right.
Russell Wilson is going to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. My wife, who is from Seattle and is a huge, huge Russell Wilson fan, is ecstatic.
Okay, but you also, Pinkett lost, but you also got
Justin Fields.
So
from the Chicago Bears.
What are you guys doing?
I know.
The Steelers are like, let's just collect quarterbacks. Is that what's going on here?
It's pretty amazing.
So that means, obviously, the Bears are going to take the number one pick with USC's quarterback.
Yeah. What would that be, Caleb Williams, I think? Yep. That's the guy. I read a really nice article about the Bears and why Justin Fields went to the Steelers. Yeah. And because on some levels, the Bears didn't get much for him, considering how much they gave for him. But this reporter who works in Chicago and has a little bit of an inside scoop say that they actually felt like Justin Fields did everything the Bears asked. He was a great spokesperson. He went out of his way.
Just not a very good quarterback.
And they wanted him to end up in a good place, actually. I thought that was kind of a neat thing. They said, you know, he could win there. It's not the best deal for us. It's a good deal for us.
Yeah.
But we would treat him well, and they thought they're trying to change the culture in the Bears.
That's really interesting for the Bears. The Bears have not had a Hall of Fame quarterback or even a great quarterback, honestly, How dare
you blaspheme the name of Jim McMahon?
180 years? Is that what it is?
It's been a bit. I grew up outside of Chicago, actually. I was a kid with the 85 Bears. I remember going to my local Jewel Osco and picking up my 45 of the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Amen.
Good times.
Amen. This is a good trip down memory lane.
But it's not a real. It's not a quarterback city. It's a defense city.
Yeah. It's because they're tough.
It is. It's cold. It's really cold out there. So exciting NFL news. Baseball is going to start, and that's too bad. We'll be watching the college basketball, and NBA is also heating up. I'm going to a game on Wednesday with my daughter, Eliana, seeing the Cavaliers, Cleveland Cavaliers. And
we'll keep everybody posted.
That's our sports. So last week was spring break at Franciscan University, and over 200 students offered up their spring break to serve others through our Missions of Peace. They traveled on a total of 11 mission trips to cities across the United States and to Honduras, the Dominican Republic, and Belize. Two in Belize. We'll talk about that in a second. There, they ministered to people in need and brought the gospel to all they encountered. We are proud to have so many students share their time and talents through these mission trips. Please pray for all our student missionaries, especially now that they're coming back to school this week and they probably didn't get any work done, that their work will continue to bear fruit, that the ministry they did will have great fruit. See, this is what happens when I go off script. I just say the same thing over and over again. If you'd like to learn more about Franciscan University's missionary outreaches, please visit outreach.franciscan.edu. That's outreach.franciscan.edu.
From you, Franciscan University.
Speaking of websites, I don't want to forget, theythathopepodcast.com, if you want to see the video of our episodes and see our smiling faces. You get to see all the eye rolls that Father Dave gives don't come across well audio-wise.
But they do come across well on TV. And for those of you who listen, just kind of wondering, like, does Bob do that every time at the end of that? Yeah, pretty much. So kind of get used to that. But Bob actually just came back from a mission. Was this the first time you'd helped with a mission?
It is. Yeah,
okay, so
it is.
Tell us about it.
I am so excited to share it with you. So, you know, we mentioned this, but this has been a great gift at Franciscan that we have hundreds of students for spring break. You know what college students often will do for spring break.
Did you see the video from Miami's Chamber of Commerce?
No, what happened?
It's really funny. Miami Chamber of Commerce is doing this video. It says to spring breakers.
Okay.
Because last year there was,
that's right. There was like riots.
Hundreds of arrests and riots, and it was just nuts. So the video has a couple of young adults, attractive as you imagine for spring break type. And it said, we're breaking up. We just want you to know, spring breakers, we're breaking up with you. And just to be clear, it's not us. It's you. So it does this whole, it's not us, it's you thing. It's like, you've been drunk. So it said, if you're coming down this year, this is what it's going to look like. So it was just a great, great video.
Oh, so they really like laid down the law.
Yeah. But anyway, spring breaks.
Yeah. And that often happens. But many of our students instead take their spring break and they go on a mission trip. And I, this year, went on one with our students. I'd never been in that role with our students before. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm just so impressed. We have a whole office of missionary outreach, which in and of itself is amazing. Rhett Young, who runs it, does an incredible job. And as a faculty member, I knew those things happened, and I'd always have students that would go away for, you know, a mission trip and stuff like that. But you know, just the formation, the work. I mean, these students, they sign up for it in September. They meet every week. It's a whole thing of prayer and training. A lot of our mission trips have different charisms with them. Like one of them is a medical mission trip, and that attracts our nursing majors and our pre-med folk. The one I was on was more of a teaching trip, you know, which, you know, was more like youth ministry and catechetics and, you know, talking in schools. Others are building houses. I mean, it's just really, it's just across the board, all these various different kinds of mission trips. So I got involved with about 13 students, and we went down to San Pedro Island in Belize. Belize, by the way, I learned this when I was there, is the only Central American country with English as its main language. So, though it's also very Spanish, but everything's in English, which was very helpful. All the schools taught in English, so that was good for our students.
Most of your time was ministry with young people, junior high kids, high school kids, elementary, catechetics, teaching, retreats.
All of the above. We did a retreat for eighth graders who were going to get confirmed in the mornings. We spoke to first and second graders who were getting ready for first communion. They were just so cute. And then in the afternoons, this was the really impressive thing. Our students went to the high school, which was just a public high school, and they stood up and they talked about theology of the body. And then they opened it up for questions.
There were some great questions.
There were some very direct questions, and our students gave very direct witnesses.
That's fantastic.
Many of them are saying, no, I actually am living a chaste life. No, I'm actually saving myself for marriage. And some of these guys are like, are you joking? Because, again, some of these women, they're beautiful women. They're young. They're excited. And I loved one of the talks that one of our students gave. He's just a large guy, like muscular, like he looks like a linebacker, you know, kind of guy, you know, wears a tank top. And he started his talk perfectly. He said, I know I look like all the white guys that come here for spring break that are drinking on the beach and are, you know, recklessly driving golf carts everywhere. He said, but I'm different because I'm a friend of Jesus Christ. And such a great start, because he really looked like just the prototypical student on spring break. I just was looking for a beach and a cheap beer somewhere. And I was so proud of them. It was funny for me to do it. I didn't know what to expect. And though you can't not know what to, you always have some expectations. Usually when I do events, I speak at parish missions. I lead worship for our conferences. And so I kind of had in the back of my head, oh, I'll probably lead some worship. No, actually, we had students leading worship, and they were amazing. Well, I'll probably give some talks. No, actually, the whole goal is to get them to give talks. So I ended up driving a golf cart around, lugging gallons of water, just trying to keep them hydrated. That was my main ministry, and it was beautiful.
No,
it was
really beautiful. Over the years, I've done the missions, and they're just such a, as you just stated, it's really for the young people, the formation, to give them the opportunity to be able to share what they've experienced and what they've known. See that? I hit that
little
cough
box. You hit the cough button. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like, I'm sure it's your case as well. I was going to say nothing. There are a few things as gratifying as watching kids that you've walked with and journeyed with stand up and share their faith. And there's a value in the witness of a young person. They'll listen to you on one level.
Sure.
You're a deacon, this, that, and the other.
And I'm handsome.
Yeah.
And buff. Watch the video to see how awesome I look.
That was going to be the next thing. But when it's somebody that is their age, that looks like them, that talks like them, that relates to them. Did one of the things that's kind of cool, did this happen that like after hours, some of the kids would come over and they begin to connect with our kids and just hang out and go to the beach? That's always the cool. It happens everywhere. Again, I've done over the years, I don't know, maybe four or five, probably more than that. But that's one of the things that you really like, that you have the formal meeting where our students are giving talks on any range of issues, and people are just kind of there because they have to, because they're in class or whatever. And then it's the couple of students that hang out afterwards and get invited to come to a barbecue later in the evening.
Yeah.
And it's those, again, it's not usually a huge number, four or five, six people, but it's those people's lives. Literally, the trajectory of their lives will be changed because of our students.
We did a festival of praise on Friday. That's
on
just
the beach?
Time of... It wasn't on the beach. Everything's near the beach.
I've been to the church there that's right by the beach. It's just so
beautiful.
This
was even cooler. We did it in the outdoor gymnasium of the public high school.
Oh, nice, nice.
So we were able to talk, you know, during the week and then just say, hey, come back on Friday. And, you know, first of all, I was like, gosh, not a lot of students are here. But everyone that was there was touched. Like, they wanted to be there.
They had 100 different places they could be.
Right. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing all of our student missionaries just at various times, like just having these conversations and then closing in prayer with these people. You know, just
how many in your group?
13.
Okay.
And what was also really beautiful, and I take this for granted, I teach, as I mentioned earlier, catechetics, which is about passing on the faith. And so a lot of our graduates end up going into youth ministry or parish work or diocesan work. I didn't have any catechetics majors on this trip,
that's good,
interestingly enough. And so I'm just so used to having people that are used to doing ministry. I mean, almost all these, especially the guys, were like, I don't stand up and give talks. We also had a number of folks join us last minute that were going to be on the Ecuador trip, the medical mission trip. But because of some, unrest in Ecuador, they decided to cancel that. And so they let them go on other trips. So some of those seniors who wouldn't get to go on a mission trip came with us. So some of them were like, I just do nursing stuff. I've never stood up and shared my faith like this before. And it was neat just to see that switch, that confidence, like, I can do this. Like, wow, it's okay. I'm not afraid. It's just amazing.
That's cool. I remember in 2020 when the world shut down, mm-hmm. kids were on spring break, and many of the kids were on mission.
Yeah.
And it was just such an awful thing, telling the students, literally, you can't come back.
Don't come back.
You can't come back. And obviously, some of the kids did, particularly when it was clear that it was going to be, 15 days to flatten the curve. So I remember I was walking back to the friary, and a student was driving, and she literally parked her car and jumped out. And it's like, oh, this is interesting. And she's crying. And it's like, oh, my gosh, this is so awful. And she said, Father Dave, I just want to thank you so much. She was graduating. Mm. She goes, I just want to thank you so much. And she said, I just got back from mission. And it's the first mission I did when I was at the university. And it was like, I wish we could stay, this, that, and the other. But this has been the perfect ending to my 4 years at Franciscan. It was really, really beautiful. And again, so many lives are touched, obviously, of the people that they do ministry with, but of our kids themselves.
Yeah, it's a win-win,
okay,
to
so
be sure.
Okay, so real quick, a couple of other things that we have to deal with. What did you eat? Because for those of you who are listening for the first time, Bob eats like a 12-year-old.
Okay, so. I have no sense of smell. I was anosmic before anosmia was cool with COVID. And so my taste buds are a little bit weird. Well, I wisely brought a squeeze bottle of peanut butter. I didn't know these things existed, and they do. So that was convenient. I had a lot of peanut butter sandwiches and peanut butter on Ritz crackers.
Nice.
That was delicious.
Lovely.
I did find a place that had pancakes and bacon.
There you go.
Right on the beach.
Nice.
It was lovely. Nice. So I tried to sneak away at first, and then eventually I'm like, I'm just going to go
do this.
I'm not going to sneak anymore. I'm just going to take. And then there's one night they were all playing on the beach, and you know how much I love to be outdoors.
Yep.
And there was a restaurant nearby, and I had steak, and it was the greatest thing I've ever tasted because I hadn't eaten
meat
in like a few days. Oh, and I did go snorkeling.
Yes. Okay, so did you get in a boat and go out?
I did. So those listening, I don't go outside and I don't try new things. It's how I stay alive. But Father Dave encouraged me, and I said I would, and
some,
I did.
Some said shamed you, but I think
that's a little bit of a stretch. But we did. I got on a boat.
Okay.
And the boat went out into the water. So, all right, this is what you didn't tell me about, or maybe you didn't know it. So we got on this boat, and we were supposed to have this boat to ourselves, and there was this older German couple that got in the boat. Obviously not our group. So I was trying to explain to them. I mean, I didn't care if they came with us. I was like, I don't know what's going on, but we're all kind of a group here. And she went, in German accent, is this where you see the sharks? I said, no. This is not the shark thing. This is the snorkeling thing. She said, this is the shark trip. I'm like, no, ma'am, this is not the shark trip. And the captain guy came over, and I'm like, hey, they think they're on the shark trip. And he went, yeah, they're good. You're fine. All right, see ya. And then the boat pulls out, and I thought,
so good.
Is maybe shark means something in Spanish that doesn't? No, I guess it's just sharks. Yep. So the first place we went to see was sharks.
Did you get in?
Yeah, of course I got
in. Okay, I've done that.
Okay.
It's phenomenal.
It's a little crazy. So the history is this, that in Belize, there was this area of the reef where they would just throw the extra fish heads and other stuff like that.
It's one of the largest natural reefs in the world.
It is. It's the second largest, second only to whatever's in Australia.
Yeah, the Great Barrier.
And so then sharks would come and eat the fish heads and the other stuff. And apparently they've become somewhat domesticated. They're just used to getting fed all the time
by tourists.
Not with tourists, but the tourists feed them, not with themselves. So, so sure enough, there I am, and I'm looking underwater, and it's just a feeding frenzy of tiger sharks and I think barracuda. if I'm correct. Or maybe he was joking.
No, there could be some burkers.
At that point, I wasn't quite sure what to take seriously. And it was a little nuts. I was thinking to myself, now what if these sharks just turned on the students?
They're friendly.
That's what ended up happening. But I did have the thought, well, what would I do? And I thought, I'm just going
to
stay.
I
think their parents would want somebody to narrate their demise.
Right,
so
right.
I'd want to have a good view of
and
that.
And then this happened, and then that happened.
Yeah, maybe last video
words
it.
Were,
yeah, exactly.
I hate you.
Arg.
Okay, real quick, did you see turtles?
I did not see a turtle.
Did you see a ray?
I did see many stingrays, actually.
Awesome.
And there were reefs. And it was...
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I was thinking, wouldn't it be great, though, if somebody could create an environment where you could see all of that and yet be dry and maybe not be on a boat?
I don't know what that would look like.
I think if I'm going to, I would maybe would call it like an aquarium or something like that. It's just a new thought.
Sounds boring.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of swimming, by the way.
Boring.
Can I just end with this?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, he's like, we're going to go out to the reef and come back. It's going to be about 40 minutes. I'm like, of swimming?
You had flippers?
I had flippers.
Great. I'm so proud of you, Bob.
Yeah.
We were texting back and forth. He said, I went swimming. He said, did you actually get in the water? And he's like, yes. I go, well, did you like it? He goes, well, I didn't like the water. I didn't like the mask. I didn't like the snorkel. I didn't like the work, but I liked seeing the fish.
The fish were good, but the best thing was being with students. I thought to myself as I got off the boat, I'm never going to do that again. And then I thought, no. The students were so excited
to do it that
I'll probably just keep doing it. I'll just maybe work out a little bit.
Yeah.
My arm strength and things like that.
That's all right. I'm proud of you, Bobby.
Thank you, Father Dave. I appreciate your affirmation. We have been over the past few weeks, and you feel free to go back and look at older episodes. We've been going through the 7 deadly sins. We were doing that as Lent, and we just realized the math today that we're not going to finish in Lent, but we'll just keep doing it.
We'll try to figure that out, yeah.
We've already discussed pride, envy, sloth, and...
That's it.
Oh, good. So we've got a few more to go.
Yep.
And today we're going to talk about...
Greed.
Greed.
Avarice. Yep.
Slash avarice.
Yep, yep.
I looked up that word, like avarice and greed, and it actually comes from a Latin word, like voracious. That's where you hear avarice, which is a hunger that's never satisfied.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really great understanding of what greed really is. It's a hunger that's never satisfied. I was... reading in one of the sports sites about this guy who was, you maybe heard of it, he worked for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he stole like $23 million, but it all went to gambling debts. And he's a very fascinating character because on one hand, like, it's almost this bipolarness of he's, by all accounts, a wonderful person,
sure.
Very kind, top of his class, faithful to his girlfriend, everybody likes him. And then he just talked about having this demon. So that was the language he used, this demon inside of him that, you know, once he started gambling and started winning, I mean, it was that hunger that never satisfies. At one point he said, I would be selling my possessions. I would be donating plasma. He'd be doing all these things just so he could keep gambling. And then he started to dip into... He realized the finances at the Jacksonville Jaguars where he was working wasn't really being overseen very well. And he always kept thinking, I'll just pay off the debt with one big win. I'll put the money back. And of course, you know, that's probably the bottom of where it takes you. But that idea of just that, you know, when greed takes hold of us, and greed is primarily, at least in terms of when the church talks about the 7 deadly sins, money is at the heart of it. We'll talk about gluttony, which is, you know, usually about food and drink. But... The Catechism, in talking about the 10th commandment, says that the 10th commandment forbids greed and the desire to...
2536.
Yeah, 25, for those keeping score at home. Forbids greed and the desire to amass earthly goods without limit. It forbids avarice from arising from a passion of riches and their attendant power. It also forbids the desire to commit injustice by harming our neighbor in his temporal goods. And then the quote... from the original Roman Catechism is, when the law says you shall not covet, these words means that we should banish our desires for whatever does not belong to us. Our thirst for another's good is immense, infinite, never quenched. Thus it is written, he who loves money never has money enough. And I just thought that quote was just so, so good. But just that idea of our thirst for another's goods is immense, infinite, never quenched. And as I was reflecting on this, it brought me to a deeper conviction of how, it's weird. Like we use these words in different ways. I would never say I'm a greedy person. You know, I don't know why I think of like Scrooge or something like that. Like, oh, you know, you're so greedy. I don't think people would look at Bob and be like, Bob's so greedy. And yet I've been realizing there's sometimes, you know, like I'll see something and I'll like, I need that. And it's all I'll think about, like, until I get it. And there's been times in my life that I can just get obsessed about, again, something I didn't know existed a few minutes earlier. Right. Thank you, Instagram shopping. And now suddenly it's like, I need it. And then you get this justification, right? Like, no, I need this. It would be better if I had this.
Yeah,
and,
I think there's some that there's greedy and stingy are different. And sometimes people feel greedy, like you're just taking and you're not sharing. And that's not what it is. I liked a couple of things that the Catechism spoke or it made allusion to that you mentioned as well. But Aquinas says that it's in essence, it's the desire to be satisfied, the desire to be filled, but looking and fulfilling that desire with earthly things that will never satisfy instead of the heavenly things that satisfy. It would say possessing, possessing the things of the world rather than the things of the earth, eternal satisfaction. This is interesting. Aquinas would talk about this. Eternal satisfaction with temporal stimulation.
Huh.
So that there's this desire that we all have to be filled, right?
Right.
And the only place that can be satisfied and filled is ultimately by heaven, by the things of the Lord. And yet we try to fill that with the temporal things. And that's the thing, like, as you mentioned, is what that becomes is it becomes this vicious cycle because it's like trying to fill ourselves on fast food. It's never going to satisfy. It's never going to do the job. It's never going to be adequate. It's never going to be enough. And it becomes this vicious cycle that, and what greed says is that is ultimately going to be able to satisfy. And what it causes us to do is to be much more concerned of the things of the earth and the things of the heaven so that we focus on stuff. Food can be a part of greed, although it's different than gluttony. But to the things that we've got here that are in front of us because we want this stimulation in our bodies and in our minds and ultimately in our hearts, that ultimately God can fill that.
I feel like particularly for a younger generation, this is a real it's a real issue. And I have great sympathy for a younger generation. They have grown up with more advertisements than anybody in human history. Yeah. I think there was some stat that by the time they're like 12 or 13, they see a million advertisements. They've seen a million advertisements. I mean, something just absolutely insane. And, you know, well, what about that? Well, every advertisement follows a similar pattern. The first pattern is there's something wrong with you or the world in which we live, but here's this item, and if you had this item, it would be fixed. You know, it creates a need and then shows you a solution, but the answer is always you need to buy something. Mm-hmm. And so over a million times by the time they're now a teenager and they're really struggling with their identity and who they are, they've been told there's something missing. There's something wrong with you. And the only way to satisfy this, obviously, will be wearing this outfit, looking this way, buying this item, you know, owning this pair of shoes, whatever it might be. That's going to be the thing that satisfies you. And so it really draws them into this greed, this idea of earthly goods will satisfy. I mean, that's the language of consumerism, and it never does, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we know this as spiritual people. I should know this better as a spiritual person, and I still get caught up into the lie of the world that the more you have, the happier you'll be, or if you're unhappy, it's because you need to go buy something. My wife likes to joke about retail therapy, you know, that when she's really down, she finds that she's tempted to just go shopping because that's what she did when she was living life in Seattle. You know, that made her feel better, but not for very long. You know, you always got to buy something else.
It's interesting. When I was reading a little bit about this, the story of Midas, which I was vaguely familiar with, right?
Yeah.
That everything he touched turned to gold because it was a wish that was granted him. And then he embraces his daughter, and his daughter turns to gold. And that thing that was most beautiful, most dear to him, he had lost for gold. And it was just a salient image and example. The other in this is just kind of an interesting way that this is playing out. And we're seeing this issue on every college campus across the United States. And it's not something that you would think about, but I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but like 5 years ago, we would have about 40 packages delivered a week,
okay,
UPS or something like that. Right now, we have over 50 a day.
What?
Because, well, everybody just clicks on their Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So they just say, oh, I need some toothpaste, click. I need some this, click. I need this. So
right.
It literally,
click. Right. I do it too.
And it comes delivered. So it's a major issue on every college campus. Here's your little insider there. But again, it's that attitude that says, I quote unquote need, I want, I satisfy, and it's this vicious cycle. And again, Aquinas would say that greed, avarice is never going to be conquered until we realize that the only thing that can satisfy that deepest longing is the Lord, the things of the Lord, the things of heaven, the sacraments, prayer, worship. All of those are ultimately what's going to satisfy.
It ties in beautifully with our season of Lent, because fasting, in many ways, is about, you know, delaying gratification, and that isn't something society teaches as a virtue. It's about instant gratification. And again, I look at Amazon and I'm like, it's not coming for 2 days. What the heck? Where can I get it? You know, I want it tomorrow. And but the Lord says you have to wait for me, and we don't like waiting.
Right.
You know, we are accustomed in a consumer society. Give me what I want and give it to me right now.
Yeah.
And the idea of being patient for the Lord. I like your analogy of fast food. I think it's really a good one, because in many ways the world offers us fast food, but God is inviting us to a banquet.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great banquet, but good food takes longer to make.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to wait a little bit, but it's absolutely worth waiting for, because then what you get is so nutritious, so satisfying. It's the thing of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think of, you know, the students this week talking about waiting for marriage, and, you know, these secular students in Belize being like, why would you do that? Like, that's crazy. Like, why won't you want it right now? And they're trying to explain, because what I get in marriage is going to be different than what you're getting right now.
Sure.
It's going to be better. It's going to be blessed, and it's going to be fulfilling. And then, you know, a lot of these, that resonated with a lot of young people. They're like, yeah, you're right. Actually, I've been sleeping around and I'm not satisfied, or,
sure,
you know, all of these lies of the world.
Sure. Well, we're grateful for the church, which provides us obviously insight on this, but also the sacraments that allow us to fulfill that, satisfy that. So this is generally what our, for those who are first time listening, this is generally what our podcast looks like. We've gone a little bit longer today than we normally do. But next week, we'll talk a little bit about Holy Week, mm-hmm, and we'll decide whether or not we're going to do one of the capital sins, or we'll wait till after that.
Maybe we'll just focus on the resurrection.
But no, we're going to focus. See, you can't just jump to the resurrection. We've got Holy Week.
By the time they hear it next week, it'll be Wednesday.
Right, so Holy Week.
Right, mid Holy Week.
Right. So we'll just
Spy Wednesday.
Kind of walk us through that a little bit. So I'm actually on my way. I leave in just a bit to go be with our students and some of the parents in Gaming, Austria, which is a study abroad program we have. So be assured of my prayers. So we should just ask the Lord's blessing.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings in our life. We thank you for mission, that each one of us is called to mission. Lord, may we see all the people that we meet today is an opportunity to share you and share your love, share your blessings, share what you've done in our life. We pray for a heart which would ultimately be filled and satisfied with the things of heaven rather than the things of earth. May Almighty God pour his blessings upon all who are listening, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Dave, and thank you all who listen. If you ever want to shoot us a question or a prayer request, you can email us at hope@franciscan.edu. That's hope@franciscan.edu. God bless.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Father Dave. They That Hope is a production of Franciscan University of Steubenville and is distributed in partnership with OSV Podcasts.